Good evening, Lehigh Valley, and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. And as you gather from our theme song, our program relates to business in the valley. And tonight we have one business that impacts all of us, whether we are in business or are in our homes. It has to deal with electricity. What if there was no such thing as electricity? I want you to think about that for a minute. Would we still be reading by candlelight and using pedal power? In this day and age, the provision of consistent and reliable electricity is really taken for granted, almost on the same level as the air we're breathing, except when we don't have it. The provision of electricity and the ongoing service is undergoing significant changes both in generation and distribution. However, for many of us, unless there is this disruption that I just mentioned, we don't seem to pay much attention to it. PPL, our locally grown company, is a Fortune 500 company and is about to spin off a new Fortune 500 company. Joining me tonight is Melinda Stumpf, PPL Regional Affairs Director for Bucks, Lehigh, Montgomery, Schuylkill, Northampton, and Luzerne counties. That's quite a territory, Melinda. Welcome.
It is. Thank you.
And also we have Ryan Hill, who is the Manager of Community Relations for PPL. Ryan, welcome.
Thank you. Well,
what I'd like to do is ask both of you, just give a brief bio of yourself, your role at PPL, so that our listeners understand a little bit more about you and what you're doing in this amazing world of electricity.
Thank you, Sally, for having us here. My name again is Melinda Stumpf. I'm the Regional Affairs Director for PPL. I've been with PPL for almost 3 years now, and my role is really to be the face of the company. I interact with many people in the Valley, as well as legislators and township municipalities. I help, get the word out for PPL and let people know that I'm a resource for them.
Okay, so if a community organization or a group or somebody has some questions, you would be maybe one of the people that they would contact or have come out and do a presentation?
Correct. I also help with the philanthropic part of our corporation.
Okay.
So many of the organizations reach out to me if they're looking for funding.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Okay. Ryan, how about you?
I've been with PPL since 2004 have had a chance to support both our PPL Electric Utilities business, which serves customers here in central and eastern Pennsylvania, but also to serve to support the supply side, which has power plants throughout Pennsylvania, Montana, and competitive markets in the U.S. Currently working with Melinda's team and her counterparts in other regions of our service territory to make sure that we're providing outreach to the communities, keeping them informed about, you know, what's going on at PPL. As Melinda said, supporting community organizations through charitable giving. And really our team serving as kind of the primary point of contact for officials, community leaders who may have questions about what's going on in their community, something related to PPL.
Okay, and I'm sure this past winter, with everything that was going on, you both were probably pretty busy with questions coming in.
Yes, we were. But it was a relatively mild winter, I think. I mean, we had a few storms, but I think the improvements that we're making to our system have really helped to cut down on the outages.
Well, and that's what we want to talk to you tonight about. We really want to get into the strengthening the reliability and the remaking of the grid that PPL is undertaken and has been for the last few years to try and make sure that there are those fewer times that we're without power. And that if we are without power, it comes back quickly. And we're going to share with you tonight some of the things that PPL is doing to do that. But before we get into that conversation, I would like to talk a little bit about some basic terms, because the whole deregulation of the electric industry has really left a lot of consumers still scratching their head as to who's doing what and what's what. I just want to pay my bill and who do I call? And so I thought if we could just go through some of the basics, like, what are the basic components of a utility company today, and things that maybe were a part of it now that are no longer, and where did they go? And let's talk about regulated versus non-regulated. So I'm going to, I guess, start with you, Ryan, first.
Sure.
And talk about the basic components. You mentioned some of you were the supply side. Okay, what does that mean? And
Right. So if we look at from, A to Z, how electricity, gets to your home, first, it's got to be produced. It's produced at power plants, That is the generation piece of what goes into your service, and there's a generation component of your bill. That's producing the power. Then it's transmitted over transmission lines, and those are the larger lines that you might see, leading to your community, towers that transmit that electricity over long distances from where it's generated to your local communities. And then it arrives at a substation, and then it goes out from there through our distribution network. And those would be the smaller lines you may see. You may even have a line that, underground line in your neighborhood or an overhead line that you see running through a backyard. Runs from the substation to your home and is delivered that way. So there are three main pieces: the generation, the transmission, and the distribution component. And PPL Electric Utilities is the business that distributes your electricity, delivers it. So they're responsible for that transmission and distribution component. There are other companies. PPL has a separate company that actually produces power and is responsible for the generation portion. And then there are many other companies that do that as well. So those are the three main pieces of what goes into getting electricity to your home.
Okay. So in my mind, because I'm business-oriented, generation is like the manufacturing.
That's right.
Okay. Because that always sort of got me a little bit with generation.
And if you think about PPL Electric Utilities, they'd be like your FedEx or your UPS. They're not making the power that you produce. They are just delivering it to your home.
Good analogy. Thank you. It helps to have those visuals. Okay, so let's talk about regulated versus non-regulated. I don't know, Melinda, Ryan, who wants to try this first?
Sure. I'll mention that. So the generation piece is unregulated, and that's been the case in Pennsylvania since about 1997, when Pennsylvania passed a law that deregulated the generation of electricity. Previously, all of those pieces I talked about were bundled into one company, company had a monopoly in a certain area. So now the generation is unregulated, has been since the late 90s. And then the distribution piece continues to be regulated by the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. And that is that's your transmission and your distribution components.
Okay, and that regulation is residential and commercial. It's not just homes.
Regardless whether you're a residential or commercial customer, if you're in our service territory, you're served by PPL Electric Utilities, and PPL Electric Utilities is regulated. Your supplier could be someone that you choose, and if you don't choose, PPL Electric Utilities goes out and buys that power, is required to go out and buy that power for you at no profit to PPL Electric Utilities.
Okay, this business model always floors me. Some year I might understand it. I'm getting better thanks to both of you, but I'm not completely understanding it yet. Let's talk about electric choice. You mentioned that because I think that's where I got confused. How can I choose somebody else? PPL delivers it. I pay PPL, but how does that work?
Sure, you can choose the company that is making that power, basically your supplier. You can't choose, a delivery company, PPL Electric Utilities. There are other delivery companies in different parts of Pennsylvania. You can't choose among them, and it makes sense if you think about it. You wouldn't, you'd have different delivery companies running wires all over a service territory. So it makes sense to have one company that's providing that service. But the supplier piece, that is the largest portion of the average customer's electric bill. About two-thirds of the electric bill is made up of that cost of producing the power. The smaller component is the delivery piece, about one-third of your bill. But it's that larger piece of your bill that you can choose. You can choose a supplier. There are many different suppliers out there making offers right now to our customers in PPL Electric Utilities service territory. I think if you go out to the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission has really done an excellent job of providing a resource for customers out there. It's called PA Power Switch, PAPowerSwitch.com. A customer can go out there, select, if you're in the PPL Electric Utilities area, select PPL Electric Utilities, and then see a whole range of offers that are made by suppliers to customers. You think it's not uncommon for customers to shop around at gas stations or you know, the price is 5 cents cheaper down the road. I'm going to drive down there to get my gas. You can go out there on that website and see a comparison of supplier offers and really and make a choice based on price, based on maybe I want, maybe I want a fixed price that's going to be fixed for 2 years. It's not going to change. It's going to give me peace of mind. There are variable prices out there. There are longer terms, shorter terms. So there's really a whole menu of options that customers can see when they go out to that PUC website.
Okay. All right. That sounds like a great, and a great site. We'll come back to that at the end of the show so that our listeners can jot that down if they want to. One other thing to just talk about briefly, because I don't want to get involved in all the sorts of legislative terms, but PUC Act 129, that has a lot to do with some things that we're working under right now. And what is that? People will refer to it. Can you just give us a sort of a high-level definition, Ryan, of what that is?
Sure. I mean, there are different components of that, of Act 129, but one of the main things that required was for utilities to offer programs to help customers save energy, to use energy wisely. Initially that program had requirements for utilities, for PPL Electric Utilities, for instance, to demonstrate that they had reduced customers' electricity use, that customers had reduced electricity use by about 3%, and there were several years to be able to demonstrate that. But it was a requirement to offer programs, help customers save, and then those programs are included in your PPL Electric Utilities rates. They help to pay for those programs. There were other components of Act 129 that talked about installing advanced meters, smart meters, some requirements for utilities around that, requirements for how utilities would purchase power for customers who don't shop. So Act 129 covered a lot of different things, but what customers are most familiar with are those energy savings programs.
Okay, and PPL has really been good about sending out notifications about different programs like this. And has that come through your department, Melinda? Is that some of the work that you do?
No, that's not my department, but we're very familiar with the different programs that we have to offer our customers.
Okay.
We share a lot of information, and we have a customer newsletter that comes with your bill. We use that as a vehicle to communicate about the programs. We've got a lot of great information out on our website, pplelectric.com, so customers can go out there and see what types of programs may be able to help them, whether it's rebates for appliances to other programs. And in addition, we get involved in doing presentations for community groups. So through a variety of means, we try to get that information out there and that word out there to the public on how they can save and the programs that we have available.
Yeah, and I think you do a really nice job. Melinda and I first met at something she was doing for the business community. Was it last year on the
topic? A couple months ago.
Time passes. But we'll get into that a little bit later as to exactly what that means, because I want to spend just a few moments talking about the history of PPL. It is indeed a homegrown organization that is a Fortune 500. I'm remiss here. I don't know exactly when PPL started. I know that I feel like it's just been a part of the Lehigh Valley forever. And Corporate Citizen, you mentioned that you work with organizations. Melinda, let's talk a little bit about that sort of human side of PPL.
PPL started, in the 1920s, and it grew out of the consolidation of 8 small Pennsylvania electric utilities in the first 2 decades of the 20th century. And so consolidation became a big thing back then, and that's how PPL, Pennsylvania Power and Light, which many people still think were PP&L.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened, and, we grew in the 30s through the 70s. And then came the 80s when, a little bit of the recession came, and then we started to be very creative. How are we going to get past this? And we began a series of incentive rates designed to increase usage and attract new industry. And that's what we did. And we focused on pricing that would sell more power during off-peak hours, increasing company revenue without requiring the construction of new power plants. And that was very successful for us. So ending the 80s, we actually ended with record sales. which is very important for PPNL. And then, of course, came the 90s. And during the 90s, we began consolidating and growing, and great things came about. You, Ryan mentioned 1997, the deregulation happened, and so that was an important part of our mm-hmm. history. And many people still, like I mentioned, consider us PPNL, but we started acquiring other businesses outside of Pennsylvania, such as Montana and Kentucky, and then, of course, the UK. And that's when, in the 21st century, we changed our name to PPL.
Okay. I seem to recall back in the, maybe it was the late 80s, about changing my habits of running my dishwasher at night and doing yes. my laundry at night because of the power situation.
Right. Saving energy. Even we were discussing saving energy back then.
Yeah.
And I think people still have those habits. So that's great.
And PPL could have at one time moved out of the city of Allentown, but it chose to stay committed to the community. And I think that strong base and what you have done. I mean, I was at the PPL Center yesterday.
Yes, and I was there too. Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. You know, let's talk a little bit about some of the outreach that PPL does within the community and some of your role within the territory that you have, Melinda.
PPL is a very strong supporter of our community. Like you mentioned, we've been here for a very long time, and we're committed to the community where we work and where we serve. So, yes, we support, we're focused on three areas with regards to our corporate giving. Those are education, environment, and community and economic development. So obviously you were in the PPL Center mm-hmm. yesterday, and community and economic development was the driver behind that, you know, the driver behind us getting involved in the PPL Center.
Yeah.
We want Allentown to flourish, and as we can see, it's obviously happening. Lehigh Valley Hospital's grand opening yesterday was phenomenal, and there's obviously more to come. But we're very excited. We give about $5 million out a year to our community, and our employees are very giving. We are the largest United Way campaign. We give about $3 million in United Way dollars.
Wow.
So, you know, we're very committed to our communities, and it's not just, you know, our corporate dollars, but we volunteer in our community, and we do many things that help to strengthen our community.
And it's very evident if you look at any of the big events that happen, whether it's at Music Fest, Arts Quest, whether it's in Allentown, Bethlehem Easton, PPL is usually one of the main sponsors for one of those three areas that you just mentioned. So thank you, PPL, for what you do for our community. And we're going to just take a short break right now, and then we'll be back, and we're going to start to talk about reliability and electric choice and talent. So this is Sally Hanlon, your host on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported Community Public Radio.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me in the studio this evening is Melinda Stumpf, PPNL Regional Affairs Director, and Ryan Hill, who is Manager of Community Relations. And the focus of our show tonight is talking about what PPNL is doing to strengthen reliability and the remaking of the grid. And before the break, we talked a little bit about some basic terms and understanding this sort of electricity world today, a little bit about PPL and its history, PPL, and what they do for the community. Now we want to really get into the business of what Melinda and Ryan want to convey, and that is what PPL is doing to make sure that it is a reliable source of electricity to the Lehigh Valley and to all of its clients. And again, realize that PPL goes beyond the Lehigh Valley, that it is international. It's in the UK now as well as down south and out west. So they've got a lot of territory to cover. When Melinda and I met before and discussed a little bit about the show, she talked about some recognition that PPL has recently gotten from J.D. Power. So, Melinda, if you wouldn't mind sharing that with our listeners.
So, yes, we are absolutely committed to customer service, and that's how we have our company, PPL, has won 36 J.D. Power Awards for customer service. That is phenomenal.
36?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I don't think any other utility company is anywhere near the amount of J.D. Power and Associate Awards we've won. And last year we won, PPL Corporation was named Utility of the Year by Electric Light and Power Magazine. And that was the second time we won that in the past 5 years. So we are completely committed to customer satisfaction. And that's why we focus heavily on reliability and making sure that, you know, all of our customers have reliable service.
Okay, and how do you do that? How do you make sure the service is reliable? What are the efforts that you've been doing to ensure that?
We're doing a ton of things to provide reliable service. One of the things that we're doing is we installed smart grid information, smart grid technology,
okay,
which you will, I believe, have a link to a very cool video that will actually depict what we're doing. But basically, what it is we are installing new switches on our lines that will remotely be able to restore power. Where previously it could take up to 2 hours to get a lineman out, locate the problem, get it back up. And now some of the switches will detect the outage and switch it over so that people might not even know they had an outage. It might be a minute, it might be less than a minute. So it's very high technology and very beneficial for our customers.
So these meters, how big are they? Are they like on the line, on the telephone pole?
Yeah, it's really a combination of technology. It's you think about a patient that goes in to the hospital or a patient that's being monitored and you can see their vitals and monitor how their health. We really over the years, over the past century, there hasn't been a lot of modernization of the grid. Now you're starting to see technology be added that allows you to monitor the health of the system much more closely, to be able to take steps, as Melinda was talking about, to restore power faster. You can see better what's going on in the system. You can make more intelligent decisions when there is trouble out in the system. And Melinda was talking about switches, one piece of smart grid technology. So as she talked about, if there's, let's just say you've got a stretch of line that has 1,000 customers on it right now, mm-hmm, and a storm comes through and a tree falls down on a portion of that line, the way the system has been, that would knock out power to those thousand customers there, and there may be an ability to isolate it to a smaller number of customers, maybe just 200 of those customers, and go out there and manually operate a switch and have power served from a different direction. So maybe we get 800 customers back in power and you still have to fix the problem for 200. What the smart grid technology is allowing is it's allowing us to do that remotely now, to operate a switch, get a lot of customers back in power within minutes rather than an hour, 2 hours. You still have to fix the problem that's affecting some of those customers, but you've really limited the scope of that. And then the next evolution of smart grid, where we're headed, is the system doing that automatically. Not even an operator half. The system sees the problem. It has a solution to get a lot of those customers back in power, reroutes that power within seconds, minutes. And so what could have been a much longer outage for some customers is now much shorter. And smart grid technology is really just one of the many things that we're doing to strengthen reliability. You know, a big thing that we're doing that's making a difference is, increased tree trimming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trees are a leading cause of outages out on the system. So we've been much more aggressive in trimming trees, not only along our largest power lines, but along all our power lines. And that's a difficult thing sometimes for our customers. We all love our trees.
You know,
I've had that happen in my yard and seen, PPLs come through and trim the trees. you know, I understand why we're doing that, because it's really critical to helping us prevent outages. But it's difficult for folks to see. But that really is the reason trees are a leading cause of outages. We've really stepped up that tree trimming in recent years. We're adding the technology, as I've mentioned. We're also doing things to kind of prevent animals from doing damage to our system.
I used to have squirrels that were kamikaze pilots on my line in the backyard.
That's their highway in the sky, right? Yeah. That's their highway in the sky. They travel along. They step on a piece that they shouldn't. The next thing you know, you've got a transformer that's blown that has to be repaired, a customer that's out of power, or customers. So, you know, not only along those lines in your backyard, but in our substations, you know, animals getting into substations, causing problems, squirrels, birds. So we've been much more active in installing guarding on a lot of our equipment out there. It's not fancy, it's not high tech, but it's, you know, basically installing a barrier or a sleeve or that can go over some equipment that prevents that animal. It helps save the animal, right, but it also helps prevent outages. So from, you know, better lightning protection, preventing animals from causing outages,
lightning
trees
protection.
And all that.
What do you do for lightning protection?
Not being an engineer, I can't tell you exactly what that solution is that they have for lightning. I know we are installing a lot of lightning protection.
Like lightning
I wouldn't be
store?
In a very good position to describe for you exactly what that is. I wish I could.
One of the things that Ryan mentioned was, you know, the tree outages.
Right.
And we have been very aggressive with our tree trimming, and it has paid off tremendously. Tree-related outages have been down 43% since we started that. So I think, as you've noticed, we've had a lot of weather storms lately.
Yes.
And we've fared fairly well. You know, 43% is fantastic. And if you're one of those people that continuously have outages because of trees, you're thankful that now that we're, you know, taking a more aggressive approach, you're not going to have as many outages. So,
well, you had mentioned early on, too, that last winter wasn't a bad winter for PPL. I mean, it really was a bad winter weather-wise.
Right, right.
But part of the reason it wasn't bad for you was obviously...
Exactly. That 43% number is really helping.
Right.
So, you know, us getting out there and making sure that our lines are free of trees, they're not going to cause a problem when we have weather, is very important to us.
Yeah. So do you have weather forecasters on staff that help you predict?
We do actually have a weather forecasting service that we use that provides us intelligence and information about upcoming severe weather. And when we see that, you know, we see maybe it's a potential thunderstorms that would be brewing tonight. You know, our folks are already planning, you know, what the storms look like. They're forecasting what kind of damage it could cause on the system, what kind of resources we might need. So we track very closely storms even before they hit to get ourselves ready. And then, of course, you know, once that storm happens, if it does create damage, it's, you know, we bring all the resources we can to bear in restoring power. And we saw that happen last week, in fact. We saw a very severe line of thunderstorms. We cover a 10,000 square mile service territory eastern and central Pennsylvania.
So how 10,000 square miles?
It's eastern, it's central Pennsylvania, it's 29 counties.
And
so this system actually was a solid system that stretched all the way across Pennsylvania, rolled through our entire service territory, and we ended up with a lot of outages. It had high winds, there was a lot of lightning. So we had about 72,000, it came through late in the evening, we had about 75,000 customers that were out of service around our territory. By the next, so really what we had is overnight to start working on that, the next morning, by early morning, we were down to 27,000 customers. And a lot of that is because we were able to use that smart grid technology and switch customers, reroute power, and get service back on for customers even before we go out and have to fix the, you know, trim the tree that's fallen on the line or fix the transformer that's blown. So yeah, we deal with this. We're in that stormy season right now. You know, cross our fingers, knock on wood, we get through the next week or so without issues. But it certainly has been a stormy one the last few weeks.
Well, and I know that, was it Hurricane Sandy, that you had like a little mini village over by Dorney Park?
Yes.
You had prepared in advance, and because of all that preparation, really minimized the impact.
That's right. And when we have a major storms like that, you know, we have to mobilize a lot of resources. And in a storm like that, with the scope of the damage and the impact, we will request support from neighboring utilities. And in that case, many of the neighboring utilities were dealing with the same kind of situation. So you're expanding that to utilities in other states. We had crews from our Kentucky utilities that were coming up here in caravans of trucks, staying here to help us restore power on our system. And so it's hard for people to envision, maybe depending on what type of company you work in, and there's a lot of competition. But the utilities, they really help out each other in times of trouble. Help out with sharing best practices on how we can improve customer service or strengthen reliability. So, you know, utilities do a great job of talking. And when it comes time to a storm that's damaged systems, sending people to go help. And we've certainly sent people to go help after Katrina, sending people down to Louisiana. We've sent people down to Texas. We've sent them to pretty far off places to help when damage has struck.
Wow.
I think another thing that we're doing to, you know, help reliability is we're starting to look at our system. Some of the equipment is old, so we're rebuilding our lines to make sure that they're going to be able to withstand, the weather conditions, or just like you replace a stove when it's old, we also replace our equipment. So one of the projects that we're doing, we're really excited about this project, is one in Emmaus. We're rebuilding a transmission line that's going to serve nearly 7,000 customers in that area. And we're providing new, stronger, and taller poles and a newly widened right-of-way to make it much less likely that storms will cause a prolonged power outage for that area. And we're doing this across our territory. I mean, and even in Fountain Hill. I mean, we're right here next to Fountain Hill. But we are actually in the process of completing a brand-new substation that will support the power needs of St. Luke's and the surrounding community. And this will help improve reliability with the installation of these new poles and power lines. So these are all of the things that we're doing to make sure that our service is reliable. And we found that by doing that, it has really helped us significantly, including that the number of power outages across our service territory was down 9% compared to the average previous years.
Well, and that's incredible, because the weather certainly has not been predictable.
Yeah. and also the number of the average duration of a power outage has been down 11%. Like he talked about that smart technology is helping us, you know, get our customers back up quicker.
So is there like a big control center at headquarters that has all this stuff, and people are, I'm picturing Star Wars or something.
Sure. we've got a transmission control center. We've got a distribution control center that looks over that distribution network.
Okay.
But we've got it's all hands on deck in a storm, there is a system emergency room. And yes, that place is abuzz with activity. They've got maps up, can see parts of the system, where outages are, what the weather looks like. Where we're dispatching crews, so yeah, it's kind of exciting. You never want to be in that situation, but it's exciting to see how the folks are able to respond and the planning that goes into figuring out how you tackle the aftermath of a big storm. And you mentioned it in the opening of the program, you know, that a lot of folks take for granted. That when they flick that switch, I get out of bed in the morning, I flick that switch, the lights are coming on, and you don't really even think about that it might not come on. And that there's so much, though, that goes into making that happen across the system. It's a massive system. We have more than 1 million poles. We've got more than 50,000 miles of power lines, transmission and distribution lines. We've got thousands of employees, trucks. There's a lot that goes in to making sure that when you flick that switch, the light comes on, and we're proud that people take that for granted, and we're also proud of the fact that we take care of that huge system that's required, and we really we do that at, for an average customer, what amounts to a cost of about $2 a day for their distribution for the delivery of their electricity. And I don't know about you, I spend that much on a bagel and a cup of coffee in the morning.
Probably I spend more.
I tell you, if I had to trade my bagel and a cup of coffee for being able to watch my shows at night, being
hot
able to
water.
Charge my cell phone so that I can
Computer.
Talk to my four kids and see how they're doing, All the things that I get from that electricity, it really is a great value. And it is a huge system that's required to make that happen.
Well, and we're getting so much more dependent on technology that it's just going to become more and more. I mean, when I think of all the devices that I have at home and, I didn't have 15 years ago.
That rely on power.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
I need more outlets. run around the house finding outlets that work. You had mentioned, Melinda, and I think, Ryan, you also talked a little bit when we talked about Act 129 education, helping people sort of save and understand how to look for things, benefits of shopping. Ryan, you mentioned that website that was papowerswitch.com.
It's a great resource, yes.
What other experiences, information should we provide our listeners regarding electric choice? It seems sometimes that you get solicited and you're not quite sure and you're not how do you verify that it really is someone that's
sure.
not presenting themselves correctly? Or
And if you go out to that PA Power Switch website now, you'd see there are over 80 offers being made to our customers. So that can be a little bit maybe daunting for a customer that's out there looking for, what could save them money. But the website's a great place to start. It's got links to those supplier, websites, phone numbers for suppliers. So if you see an offer that attracts, you're attracted to, you can call that supplier. One of the hurdles as we've tried to promote the benefits of electric choice to customers and the fact that they can save, there are a number of things hurdles that we try to get over. And that's number one, we have customers that say, I've been with PPL Electric Utilities for years. I just want to, I'm a loyal PPL customer and I don't want to switch. And what we try to convey to them is that you are not hurting PPL Electric Utilities if you shop. And in fact, I shop, many of our employees, Melinda shops. PPL, if you don't shop, PPL Electric Utilities goes out there and buys power for you from suppliers. PPL Electric Utilities doesn't produce that electricity. So when they go out there and buy it for you, they pass that cost to you without profit. So you're not hurting us if you're buying from another supplier. And on the other side of that, customers worry, well, what will happen if my lights go out? Is it still PPL Electric Utilities that I would call? We're still going to be your delivery company. We're still going to be that company you call if there's trouble. We're going to make sure your power is delivered safely and reliably, no matter who supplies your electricity, who your supplier is. So those are the types of things and it's a transition, it's a process. We're getting more and more customers comfortable with that. We have 650,000 of our customers right now that have picked another supplier. That's about 46%. And we'd like to see that number, grow, because we know there are opportunities there for customers to save money. I know I'm saving money by shopping.
Okay, I haven't done that yet. I'm going to have to think about that. Okay, listeners, stay tuned, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what PPL is doing to help us be more efficient with our electricity use. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and stay tuned after this break.
You're listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. That's wdiy.org. And thanks for your support.
Welcome back. Listeners, this is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me this evening is Melinda Stumpf from PPL. She's the Regional Affairs Director, and Ryan Hill, who's the Manager of Community Relations. And we're talking about what PPL is currently doing to strengthen reliability and remake the grid. And before our break, we were talking about some of the tree trimming and smart grid and things that they're doing to beef the system up, as well as substation upgrades, etc. We talked a little bit about electric choice, and Ryan's going to convince me why I need to do that. But now I'd like to talk a little bit about something that Melinda's involved with, which is the education on efficient energy use and some of the programs that PPL is undertaking to help clients be more efficient with how they use the power?
Yeah. I think many people know of our rebate program, and they're most familiar with the rebate program where you can call us and we'll pick up your refrigerator and give you a $35 incentive. Have you tried that?
Yes, I have done that.
I think mostly everybody has been involved with that, and we encourage that. We encourage people to continue to, you know, if you have that old refrigerator that's in your garage that's probably not efficient and probably costing you a ton of money to keep your, you know, your drinks cold out there in the in your garage, give us a call and we'll come get that and help you save some money. But we also have some other rebate programs that people may not be aware of, and I thought it would be interesting to, you know, just chat about some of our rebates. If you are buying a new refrigerator, you know, there's up to a $100 rebate that you could get if you choose an Energy Star refrigerator. So make sure you're looking at our rebates if you're going shopping for refrigerators to make sure that you choose the right refrigerator that could possibly offer you an incentive. But one of the things I noticed when I was, you know, looking up some of these programs was some tips that we could offer to our customers, even if they're not shopping for a new refrigerator, because, you know, that's a very big purchase and you might not be in the market for that. But there are some things you can do to save some money. Checking the temperature on your fridge to avoid wasting energy. And I never thought about that. What does that mean, checking the temperature? I always thought my stuff is cold. I don't really need to do that. But your refrigerator should be 35 to 38 degrees. And your freezer should be 0 degrees. And so you might ask, how do I check that? What do I do? All you need to do is put a thermometer in the center of your refrigerator in a cup of water and another between packages in the freezer, and read it after 24 hours and adjust your temperature as needed. So that could help you significantly. Here's another thing. My mom always taught me to make sure things cool down before I put them in the refrigerator. I never understood, you know, I've always done that. But that also is another reason why you want to, you know, that's another energy saving tip. Cool and cover hot foods before putting them in the fridge. Uncovered food and liquids can release moisture, making your refrigerator work harder.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I do the same thing. My mom must have been in the same school.
Yeah. But another energy rebate that we have is pool pumps. I just had a pool put in. And here's a rebate that I can actually tap into. So pool pumps must be multi-speed, but you can get up to $150 on a new pool pump. So whether you need a new one or you're installing a pool, look into these things. But there's many people out there that are not doing that right now. And so one of the tips that I thought was very helpful, because it is summertime, it's hot, everybody wants to be in their pool. If you install a timer on your pool, that will also help. If debris is a problem, sometimes you get a lot of debris in your pool, so you think you need to keep that pump running so that, you know, it's clean.
Filters, yeah.
But using a timer that can activate the pump for many short periods each day will help keep your bills down as well. So,
interesting.
We also have, and I also took advantage of this rebate prior to working at PPL. I installed a new heat pump, heating system for our house, and you can get up to $200 a rebate for that. So make sure you check out our website and before you purchase your new heating system.
Okay.
To see if you could take advantage of that.
And all these tips that Melinda has just been sharing are on the website. That PPL, is it PPLweb.com?
It's Electric Utilities. PPL Electric Utilities.com.
Yeah, it's actually www.PPLElectric.com. And you can see what rebate programs we have. You can see tips out there. And again, it doesn't have to be, a lot of it isn't rocket science. There are very simple things you can do in your home that can help you save. And You step outside, and feel that it's cooler. I guess it's the polar vortex that's dipping back into our area. What a great day to open up your windows, turn your thermostat back or turn your air conditioner off, open up your windows, save. It's nice and cool outside. There's a lot of good tips out there that can help you.
Terrific. And so as you can listen to the comments that are being made here, PPL really is out there to help us be more efficient, to use our energy more efficiently, to understand what we're doing, and to help make sure that we have electricity on a reliable basis. One of the areas that I wanted to just briefly talk about, there's been some publicity recently about this new company that PPL has been working with called Talon. It's a spinoff. And I was hoping that maybe Melinda or Ryan could share a little bit about what this means, how it's going to impact or not impact what happens here in the Lehigh Valley.
Sure. And Talon Energy is actually not a company that exists yet. It's going to be a company that's created by this transaction between PPL and a company called Riverstone Holdings. And PPL essentially is going to spin off its energy supply business. That is the power plant side of the business. Merge its those generation power plants, those assets, with Riverstone Holdings' generation business to form a new company. It'll be a standalone company called Talon Energy. It will be headquartered here in Pennsylvania, and it will be led by PPL management that will be going over to manage this new company.
Okay.
It's a move that really is designed to unlock value for our share owners. We've had a feeling for quite some time now that our business, this combination that we have of regulated businesses and then these competitive generation businesses, has really been undervalued. That investors really want clear choices. I want a clear choice between a regulated business with stable earnings, a growing dividend. And there are investors that want that choice of an independent power producer, which is what Talon Energy will be, with growth potential there. A little more risk and reward on that Talon Energy side, but really that in the combined model that we're in now, that it's those businesses are undervalued. We want to unlock that value, basically our energy supply business not being valued at all, really, and wanting to unlock that value that we know is there. And so this is really a transaction that's going to be the best path forward for both our regulated businesses and our energy supply business. And for all those PPL Electric Utilities customers out there who maybe have seen a headline or read an article, this won't affect PPL Electric Utilities. It won't affect customers' bills. PPL is still going to, exist headquartered here in Allentown. PPL Electric Utilities will be part of that, and we'll continue to provide, safe and reliable service to customers. This is about that generation side of the
manufacturing
business.
Part.
Right.
Is this a trend that you're seeing, Ryan? Other companies that have been long established, like PPL, are starting to separate? And
we are. So, hate to use the term hybrid, but that's a term that's been given to this model of a company like PPL that has both regulated businesses and these competitive generation businesses. And you are seeing a trend in companies, doing what PPL is proposing to do here. And separate those companies, either sell off their generation assets and focus just on strictly regulated delivery businesses. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing more of that activity, merger and acquisition activity in our industry. There's a lot that has changed our industry in recent years. Natural gas has been a huge game changer. The discovery of of the shale gas, Marcellus shale, and the continued innovation in drilling and getting that out of the ground has really been a game changer for the industry. It has lowered power prices. Power prices very closely follow what happens with natural gas prices. And that boom in shale gas has lowered those prices. It's had a lowering effect on power prices. And so that's really challenged a lot of supply companies, suppliers, those companies that are in that competitive generation business. And so you see them looking to grow in scale and get greater efficiencies through merger and acquisition.
Yeah.
And then you see other companies that are deciding, I don't want to be in that uncertainty that hangs out there on that supply side. I don't want to be in that, so I'm going to sell those assets. So yes, there's a lot more activity, and the trend seems to be more merger and acquisition in the industry.
Okay. And along that with trends, I mean, you mentioned the gas and the Marcellus shale. What other types of things do you have, your crystal ball? What do you foresee the next 4 or 5 years for consumers in the way of electricity? Anything major? I mean, certainly the deregulation and the choice have been the major efforts. I don't know if anything else can compare to that. But what do you predict? What are you seeing in your future?
I think what we've seen and what you'll see even more of is the ability to share information with customers about their electricity use. You know, we have an energy analyzer tool online now where customers can go and see, how their electricity use varies during the day. So you can see much more than you could in years past of just waiting to see my monthly electric bill. Oh, that's what I used over the past month. You know, it's the ability to go in and see on a daily basis, what am I using? So better information that helps customers make more informed decisions. You know, I think you'll start to see, you know, more and more of the, you know, I've got my phone, I'm going to program the temperature in my thermostat
sort of
at home.
Smart house type thing, yeah.
The smart house type thing. And I think as those things become more prevalent, as costs come down, you start to see that, you know, become more of a reality for more and more people. And that's all exciting. And I think you'll continue to see that innovation in our industry.
I did receive, and I was telling Melinda this, I did receive a little sort of video presentation about my bill last year, this year. I guess it was a couple weeks ago. It hasn't been a month yet. But I thought that was really pretty clever.
Yeah, I mean, you're certainly seeing more and more PPL Electric Utilities has got involved in social media as a way to communicate with our customers, particularly during storms. But, you know, so it's social media. We're using more video to communicate with customers. And really, that is the next generation. You know, I see my kids now, and I see how they are on the computer or with mom's phone. And, you know, they want to be connected. They want to get information quickly. The idea that I should be able to look and see how much electricity I use today and have that at my fingertips, rather than, you know, waiting and seeing a month later what I might have used. You know, that's going to be their expectation, and so that's the direction we need to move in.
Oh wow!
Yes,
we've become
much more innovative with, you know, our way of communicating with customers. And I also got that video, and I thought it was excellent. Yeah. It was a great way for customers to see how much energy they're using and make some smart choices.
Correct. I tried to share it with a few folks, and they were just really surprised at having seen that video. So it's like, well, okay, we're getting there. Melinda, with what you're doing in the counties you cover, mm-hmm. I would suspect that the next few years you're going to be on the road a lot.
Yes.
Doing a lot of presentations, sharing all the upgrades and what's happening. Anything in particular sort of is it businesses? Is it commercial, industrial? Where do you see some of your efforts being made as far as going out into the communities? What types of groups or organizations?
Particularly for me, getting out into the community and spreading the word about, you know, the projects that we're doing and the reliability message that we're trying to get out. You know, I've met with some of the chambers. I've done some presentations there. I have several meetings set up with the Rotaries. Really just trying to get that message out that, you know, reliability and power is very important to us, and making sure that our customers are, you know, that they have power is our number one priority. Safety, reliable power, being involved in the community is what we really focus on. So that's basically what I'm doing, trying to get that message out.
So if there's somebody that's listening that maybe belongs to another community organization group that has a lot, maybe it's an economic development, maybe it's another chamber or whatever, within your territory,
yes,
you're the person that they should be contacting.
Absolutely. I welcome that.
And how do they reach you?
They can reach me via my email, which is mstumpf@pplweb.com. And I would imagine you might have something posted with that information then.
On the website, mm-hmm. Sure, with the show. And Ryan, with where you're going with community relations, anything that we need to make communities aware of from your perspective, when would they reach out to you perhaps versus Melinda?
Well, Melinda would be the, you know, the primary contact in this area, and we've got folks like Melinda in other areas, and I work obviously with Melinda and her counterparts, but they would be the primary contacts if you're a community official, if you're someone that's got a concern out there. But I don't want, you know, the primary contact really for customers too, if customers have concerns and issues, is really to call our customer contact center. You know, that's 1-800-342-5775. You know, that's who they should be calling. We have customer service representatives who can see their accounts, help them with billing questions they may have if it's a service they need. So that's the primary contact for customers. Mm-hmm. But in terms of community relations, people may have seen some of these, you know, announcements about, you know, PPL spinning off its energy supply business. I guess the message we want to leave with customers is that PPL Electric Utilities is going to continue to have a strong presence in the communities we serve. We're going to continue to be open and honest with those communities as we have been for years, to try to improve and strengthen our delivery service. And we're not, you know, PPL Electric Utilities is not going away. We're here and we're going to be here to serve them and try to serve them as well as we can.
Okay, so we have just about a minute to wrap up, and I'm hoping that, listeners, you got a lot of good information, but let's give them a few key websites again. The Power Switch?
Sure, papowerswitch.com.
Okay, and that gives you all the electric choice options.
That's right.
Okay, and the tips on efficiency, Melinda?
Yeah, pplelectric.com. We'll you know, there will be information about energy efficiency. There will also be information about if you want to report an outage. You can go there. It's a great website to help you manage your account.
Okay. So, listeners, I hope this evening you got a good education on what our local homegrown utility company is doing as far as its growth, its support of making sure that we have reliable power on a regular basis, and what they're doing in our community. And certainly, most of our communities within the Lehigh Valley can certainly see something that PPL has supported within the last 6 months. So thank you both for taking the time to be here. Ryan, thank you for being a part of this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Melinda, thanks for getting together and letting us have this show about PPL and what you're doing and the company.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, thank you for being with us. And if you stay tuned, Celtic Fair will be up next. So have a great evening, and we'll be with you next month.